Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. As the days shorten and temperatures drop, it's clear that we're heading towards that most joyous time of the year once again, tax season. So with the end of the financial year rapidly approaching, now is certainly a good time to start thinking about anything you need to do to prepare, especially if it's slipped your mind until now like it has for me. That's why I'm pleased to say that joining us on the show today is someone who is well and truly equipped to lead us through a chat about all things tax. It's friend of the pod and Director of Tax Communications at H&R Block, Mark Chapman. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
How are you, Tom?
I'm very well, thank you. A little bit cold in old Canberra today, but otherwise pretty well. Mark, before we get into the nitty-gritty, tax, you know, it's certainly been a topic getting plenty of airtime in the media and the political realm of late. So have there been any major changes in tax rules over the past year which will impact people come tax time this year?
Yeah, well, it's probably worthwhile bearing in mind that the low middle income tax offset has been abolished for this year. So you may remember that for previous years, if you earned up to $126,000, you could get a tax offset of up to $1,500, which quite significantly boosted, you know, potentially the refunds of people in that group. Now, that actually ended at the end of the last tax year, so the 30th of June 2022. However, most people won't realise this until they come to do their tax return this year, because you actually got the offset when you completed your tax return. So therefore, when you do your tax return this year, unfortunately, you could find that your refund has shrunk quite considerably because you no longer get that offset.
Yeah, right. And I imagine that affects quite a significant portion of taxpayers then.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Basically anybody earning up to $126,000. I don't know what the percentage of people is who do that, but it would probably be quite substantial.
In previous years, I know that the ATO has come out before the end of the financial year with a bit of a warning that they'll be paying close attention to certain groups. I'm thinking about cryptocurrency investors who I believe were one of those cohorts either last year or the year before. So has the ATO indicated whether it will be targeting any particular groups this year, Mark? And if so, what will they be looking for?
Yeah, well, there are really two main groups the ATO are going to be focused on. They are people who claim work-related expenses, and they're people who claim expenses in relation to investment properties. Because the ATO has worked out that there's a $9 billion shortfall between the tax which individuals are expected to pay and the tax that they're actually paying. You know, the ATO has analysed this, and they believe that the major components of that are in relation to work-related expenses and investment property deductions. You know, therefore, you know, if you are claiming in relation to work-related expenses and investment properties, it is essential that you do it correctly, and that you've got the substantiation to prove that you actually incurred the expense, because they are clearly going to be a focus area for the ATO. In addition, I think it's probably fair to say that they do still have a particular focus around cryptocurrency, simply because there's so many people have got into cryptocurrency over the past few years, and you know, a lot of people don't understand the tax rules, don't necessarily understand that there are any tax rules. So, you know, the ATO is focusing on that area, not least because they're getting now records from Australian cryptocurrency designated service providers. So a third party is providing the ATO with information which they can use to cross-check with individuals' tax returns. So, you know, inevitably that's going to be a considerable focus of attention. And also the sharing economy. Again, that's another area where people simply don't understand the tax implications. You know, that's an area which the ATO is focusing on. Again, There are some reporting requirements which are being placed on sharing economy providers to provide information to the ATO. That will be a useful verification check, which the ATO will cross-check with personal tax returns. You know, that is clearly going to be a major focus going forward.
Just to clarify, Mark, what do you mean by the sharing economy? What kind of sectors or types of employers or employees are we talking about there?
There are basically two big ones. So the first one is ride sourcing, you know, the Uber and Didi and all those sorts of services. So if you're engaged in ride sourcing, obviously you need to be paying attention to your tax obligations. And the other one is renting out a room or house for accommodation. Airbnb hosts are the classic example there, but also stays and people like that. There are various other ones which are smaller, less well known, renting out parking spaces, providing skilled services, you know, such as AirTasker, you know, completing odd jobs and errands, renting out equipment such as tools, musical instruments, sports equipment, etc. Food delivery services is another big one. The ride sourcing and the renting out a room are the two major areas there.
So plenty of groups that want to make sure that they're doing things right this year.
Absolutely.
That's a bit of context in relation to what's changed and who the ATO will be keeping an eye on this year. And in a moment, I want to dive into some of the things that people should be thinking about when it comes to preparing for the end of financial year. Before we get into preparing for that deadline, Mark, I'd like to talk about working from home, because I imagine that many Australians, I'm included in this category, have been working from home to some degree over the past financial year. So are the rules around working from home expenses still the same, or have things changed?
Well, unfortunately, they're not the same.
No.
The ATO has changed the rules. Rather inconveniently, they chose to change the rules partway through the tax year. So from the 1st of March, basically, the ATO introduced some new rules. However, they were actually backdated to the 1st of July 2022. And therefore, you know, this is going to cause a lot of confusion for taxpayers who are seeking to implement these new rules because, you know, to a large extent, they applied retrospectively. So previously, you could claim the 52 cent per hour fixed rate, or alternatively, you could claim the 80 cent what was called the shortcut rate. They've both been abolished, and in their place, the ATO has introduced a new revised fixed rate that is 67 cents per hour. Unfortunately, it doesn't cover the same things that the 52 cent rate covered. For example, it does cover energy expenses, phone usage, such as your mobile and your home phone, internet, and stationary and computer consumables. Everything else isn't included within the fixed rate. So, for example, depreciation, the repairs and maintenance of the assets, cleaning costs, etc., they're not included.
Right.
So, yeah. Basically, you can claim 67 cents per hour now. However, there are substantial additional compliance requirements which didn't exist previously. Previously, if you were claiming the 52 cent method, all you needed was simply a diary, a 4-week diary, prove the amount that you worked from home during that 4 weeks. You could extrapolate that over the year. Job done. That was it. Now, unfortunately, you do need to keep a complete record for all 52 weeks of the hours that you actually worked from home. So therefore, it isn't sufficient to simply maintain the 4-week diary. You've got to do that for the entire 52-week year. Now, it may be that you complete timesheets or rosters, etc. They would be sufficient. A diary would be sufficient. In addition, you need to keep an invoice or a receipt for each category of expenses that are included in the fixed rate. So therefore, unless you can prove the actual hours you worked, And also, unless you can prove the actual items that you're claiming with a receipt or an invoice, you simply can't claim the fixed rate method. So to a large extent, you won't be able to claim at all because the fixed rate method is supposed to be the easy method. The alternative is to claim actual expenses, and that contains, you know, all sorts of compliance requirements over and above that. So, you know, we could get to the end of the financial year and many taxpayers might find themselves really struggling to meet that compliance requirement and therefore, unfortunately, potentially unable to claim for their working from home expenses.
Yeah, geez, that's such a significant change, which, as you said, I imagine is going to affect a lot of people. And I guess it's hard given the fact that if the ATO didn't bring it in until March, people might not have been keeping those records before that.
Yeah, I mean, they did actually, because the ATO was very slow, they only introduced this in March. It is possible to keep a four-week diary for the period up to the end of February. Mm-hmm. However, from the 1st of March onwards, the ATO is basically saying that you've got to keep a complete record of all your hours from the 1st of March to the 30th of June. Now, the ATO has done a fair amount of publicity about this. I've done a fair amount of publicity about this. But nevertheless, I think it's fair to say that many taxpayers simply weren't paying attention. It's only once we get to this time of the year that taxpayers really paying attention to tax. And therefore, all of this, all of these changes and all of the announcements about the changes might have well have simply gone over the heads of many taxpayers who may not have noticed.
Absolutely. I'm sure I know quite a few people in that situation. No one too close to home, though. Mark, moving away from working from home, one question that that we often see raised is in relation to the line between personal and business expenses. And you touched on this briefly before. You know, for example, I've got a pair of headphones that I may be wearing right now that I purchased, which I obviously use for podcasting purposes at work, and but also for listening to other bits and pieces outside of work. So is there, I guess, an easy way for people to understand where and how the line is drawn here?
Well, the basic rule is that you can claim business expenses. You can't claim personal expenses. Mm-hmm. However, where that line is drawn depends on the specific type of expenditure. So, for example, with motor vehicle expenses, the cost of a journey to and from work is regarded as a personal expense. Mm. So the daily commute, is it, that's simply a personal expense and it can't be claimed. However, any journeys which you do during the working day, for example, between two work sites, are work-related, mm-hmm. and therefore you can claim for those. In the case of your headphones, that's probably a little bit more difficult because, you know, if they are $200 headphones, you can claim a portion of that $200 that relates to work-related use, but not a proportion relates to personal use. How you differentiate them really comes down to you. I mean, really, technically, you do need to keep a diary. Mm. Of all the hours that you use the mobile phone, and then split that between personal use and private use, and therefore you can from that you can work out the amount which you can actually claim. Having said that, you know, many people don't do that with things like headphones, so it might well be necessary to come up with a reasonable estimate. Mm. And you know, claim it that way. Having said that, if you do that, you are potentially raising an issue with the ATO because you might not be able to substantiate your claim.
Oh, thank you for that explainer, Mark. That's actually really useful. It's something that I've always wondered as well. Before we run out of time today, definitely want to get onto some ways that people should be preparing. So, is there anything that people should be thinking about now in the way of preparation to make their life easier come tax time?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've said a few times during the course of this presentation that you need to substantiate your expenses. Mm. So therefore, this is a really good time to make sure you can actually do that. So make sure you've got the written evidence, receipts, invoices, bank, credit card statements, etc., for everything that you do actually intend to claim. If you're not sure whether it's claimable, get the paperwork anyway. Go and talk to your tax accountant. They'll be able to tell you whether it's whether you can claim a deduction or not. It's essential that you do that, before we get to the end of financial year, because you don't want to be sitting in the accountant's office scrabbling around for paperwork and realizing you've left it at home, you don't know where it is, you don't have an invoice, etc. So it does pay to take the time to gather all that paperwork together. If you do notice anything missing, contact the retailer, potentially get a copy of the receipt. That's all useful work which can be done before 30th of June.
Mark, before we let you go, do you have, I guess, any other tip or perhaps a final takeaway for people either preparing for the end of financial year or, I guess, submitting their tax return in the months to come?
Yeah, well, I think the main thing really is to get some professional help. Go and see a tax agent, a tax accountant. Most people, about 70% of Australians, do use a tax accountant, and they generally find the process far less stressful if they can simply leave the preparation of their return to the tax agent. Obviously, that ensures that the return will be accurate and complete. And generally speaking, an experienced agent will be pretty good at sniffing out obscure tax deductions that you didn't know, for example, that you could claim. So I think it is worthwhile, bearing that in mind and going to see a tax agent before or immediately after the end of tax year and get your tax return done that way.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, I think that's an excellent place to call it a day for now. So thank you so much for your excellent insights as usual and for making the time to chat with us today.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
Before we go, don't forget, dear listener, that we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas for us. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And if you're enjoying tuning in to Friends with Money, then you can help support the show by sharing it with a friend or family member, if you are inclined to do so, that is. Or you can leave us a glowing review on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, or your podcast platform of choice, if it lets you do it. Last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, Zone, but we'll be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.